16 this morning. I'm not going to read the entirety of this text because there's really only one portion of it that is on my heart this morning, Luke chapter 16 and verse 27. The Bible says, talking about the rich man here in hell, he's talking to Abraham, verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Lord, we want to thank you this morning for your presence. Thank you for your people this morning, God, just the obedience, the testimonies. Lord, the liberty in the song service this morning, your presence, the good Sunday school hour. Thank you for answered prayer already this morning, and I bless your name that your eyes are over the righteous and your ears are open unto our prayers. Lord, I pray this morning you'd walk up and down the aisles of this church and speak to every single heart, and may the will of God be done in this service, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want us to look at the rich man's final plea in this text from hell. It's a rather interesting subject to me because it is the subject that I want to deal with this morning. And as we think about the rich man in hell, as he is suffering in the flames of hell, I want you to notice in verse number 27 that he has a prayer on his mind. As he said, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father. Now, think about this man in hell. He is not a man of prayer, apparently up until this point. But once he goes to hell, we find that he prays for a drop of water and he prays for a witness. And you've heard it said many times that the greatest prayer meeting going on right now is not going on in our churches, but it's going on in the charred walls of the damned. It's going on in hell. And one day, every sinner is going to cry out to God. The problem in this text is that though this man is praying, he waited too late to pray. And friend, don't you wait too late to pray. He has a prayer on his mind. He has a place on his mind. Look what he said in verse 27, that thou, talking about Lazarus, would send him to my father's house. So this man is remembering his father's house. He doesn't say anything about his father here in these next few verses, but perhaps his father had already passed away, or there's the possibility that his father, I reckon, would know the Lord. But I really think that is not the case because he doesn't mention the father as if the father's already gone. Perhaps this man is the oldest of the six brothers, and the father has passed away, and now he has passed away. And when you consider that, it would be an awful thing to think about both a son and a father in hell. But that is the possibility in this text here. I'm not saying that the father is in hell because the Bible doesn't say, but he does not mention his father being here on earth, but he's thinking about his father's house here. He's remembering, he has a place on his mind. He has a prayer on his mind. And then you'll notice in verse number 28 that he has a people on his mind. As he says, for I have five brethren. I mean, this man is thinking about his lost brethren. He's thinking about those men that do not know Jesus. And when I thought about that text this morning, I thought to myself, can you imagine? Here is a man with five brothers, or six brothers total, and possibly even his father, we could say, and none of them in the family knows God. None of them is saved by the grace of God. What a tragedy that is for an entire family to be lost. And you know, this morning there could be an entire family sitting here that is lost this morning. Maybe there is a brother that is lost. Maybe there is a father that is lost. Maybe there is a mother that is lost. But for the first time in this story, and perhaps the first time in this rich man's life, he is thinking about someone other than himself. He has one last request and one last desire. He wants to keep his brethren, his five brethren, he wants to keep them out of hell. And I want to preach on that subject a few minutes this morning on how to keep your family out of hell. How to keep your family out of hell. You see, in this little conversation, conversation that happens toward the end of this text here between the rich man and between Father Abraham. There is a blueprint given here on how that we can keep our family out of hell. And may I say this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to have a burden, and I ought to have a burden, and we ought to have a desire to keep our loved ones out of heaven, out of hell. We ought to want the circle to not be unbroken. We ought to want our family to go to heaven when this walk of life is over with. You see, the devil wants to do everything he can to distract us and deter us from thinking about others dying without God and going to hell. He wants us, and we can enjoy life, and he wants us to go through life and just enjoy life and enjoy everything going on in life, but never think about those that need to be saved. But I would dare say in this congregation this morning, from the pulpit all the way to the very last pew, that we all have somebody in our family right now that we know that if God don't save their soul, they're going to die lost and they're going to go to hell. And that needs to burden me, and that needs to burden you. And I think part of having revival in our own life is getting a burden for somebody else. Amen. You see, when we get a burden for somebody else, we won't think about others. Amen. Or won't think about ourselves. We'll be focused on them. And that's what the Christian life is about. It's about thinking about others. Amen. And here in this text, this man has a burden. He doesn't want his five brethren to go to hell. I ask you the question this morning, do you have family members that are lost? Do you have family members that you don't want to die without God and go to hell? Maybe it's a husband, maybe it's a wife, maybe you've got a teenage son or a teenage daughter, maybe you've got some small children you're praying for, maybe there's somebody you work with that needs to be saved, but whoever it is this morning, surely that God would put somebody on all of our hearts that needs the Lord. Amen. Brother Jonathan, can you turn them monitors down just a little bit? They're squealing. What will it take to keep our family out of hell? Notice with me in our text this morning, look at verse number 28. I will say, first of all, it is going to take a witness. Amen. Look at what the Bible says in verse 28. For I have five brethren, notice this, that he may testify unto them. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I don't want my family to go to hell, then I want to say, number one, it's going to take a witness. Amen. You see, we must talk to our family about their souls. Amen. We must testify to our family about salvation. We must teach our family the scriptures. If you know somebody in your family that's not saved, don't sit idly by and just let them go through life on their way to hell, but go witness to them, testify to them. The Bible said in Acts 1 and verse 8, Jesus told the disciples, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We're called to witness to everyone, but we're to start with our family first. Amen. We're to witness to our family. You may have to make more than one trip, but go back to them again and again. Mark 16 and verse 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That includes our loved ones. Amen. We must share the gospel. You say, preacher, I'm not that good at explaining the scriptures. You may not be, but you can explain what John 3:16 means. Amen. You can tell them what Romans 6:23 means. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you've been saved, you can tell them what Jesus has done in your life and the change he's made in your life. You must witness. I must witness to our family. We must give them the gospel if we don't want them to go to hell. Amen. I don't want a family member to look at me at the great white throne judgment if they're lost and say to me, you never told me how to be saved. Why didn't you tell me that I was going to hell? We had family reunions, we had Christmas dinners, we had Thanksgiving dinners, we got together on different occasions, you saw me time and time again, but you never gave me a gospel tract. You never told me what Jesus did in your life. I'm telling you, there's no such thing as silent witnesses in the Word of God. If you're saved, get a burden for somebody in your family that's lost. Go to them, call them, send them, listen, go by their house and witness to them. Get in your car
are and drive to where they're at. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. But if we're going to keep our family out of hell, number one, it's going to take a witness. Number two, it's going to take a burden. Look at verse number 28 again. He said, for I have five brethren that he may testify to them. Look at this, lest they also come into this place of torment. Here's a man that's in hell. Here's a man that's suffering the torments of hell. And he wants his five brethren to not go to hell. He's under a tremendous burden here. What is it that's causing this man to have a burden? He knew his brother's need. He knew that they were not saved, lest they also come. He knew where they were headed. They were coming to this place of torment. He knew their neglect. He knew that somebody had failed to tell them. Somebody had failed to witness. All of this is producing a burden in this man's heart. He knew their number. He didn't just say some of them, but he counted every single one of them, all of his brethren. He may have liked some more than others. He might have been closer to some more than others. But when it comes to eternity and when it comes to the lost souls of men, he had an equal burden for every single one of them. I'm telling you, I don't want one family member to go to hell. Some may be easier to love than others, but I'm telling you, Jesus died for every soul, and we must have a burden. We must shed a tear. We must weep for our loved ones that are lost this morning. Do you have a burden? Is there a face that comes to your mind right now of someone who is not saved? Paul said in Romans 10 and verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Psalms 126 and verse 5 said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I don't care how low down and sorry a family member may have been in your eyes or mine, they still need to be saved. They still need the gospel. We're just as low down and sorry outside the grace of God as what they are. Now, don't coddle their sin. Don't tell them what they're doing. Never tell someone that's lost that they're okay. Never agree with them about their sin. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, if they drink Budweiser or they drink liquor, don't you pat them on the head and say God understands and that's okay. I'm telling you, all you're doing is pushing them closer to the flames when you agree with their sin. The Bible said open rebuke is better than secret love. You love them enough to tell them the truth. Amen. You care more about their soul than you do their feelings. You have a burden. You say, well, preacher, how do you get a burden for family members? I'll tell you how. You got to pray. You got to pray for their soul. You may start out and not have a burden, but if you'll pray for them every day, God somewhere, he'll break you and I. He'll give us a burden. He'll put tears back in our eyes over those family members that need to be saved. Amen. In fact, I would say this morning, before we witness to them, we ought to have a burden. It's going to take a witness. It's going to take a burden. Then I will say in verse 29, it's going to take a Bible. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You know what? Moses and the prophets was the Old Testament, wasn't it? And this man somewhere's died between the end of the Old Testament and the time of Christ. Somewhere he went out in eternity. We don't know who he is. He's a lost soul. He's lost his identity. He's lost without God in hell. But we do have this story here where this man is praying. He has a burden that his brethren would not come to this place of torment. He said, why don't you send Lazarus back from the dead? And Abraham said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they have the word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, sinner, if you get saved, you're going to have to put faith in the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What was his testimony? What was her testimony? It was about faith in what God said and believing what God said. I want to say this morning, sinner, the Bible says that all men must be saved. Amen. I'm telling you, you can't be good enough to get to heaven. You can't do enough good works to get to heaven. You're not going to get to heaven because of who you know. You're not going to get to hell. Listen, you can join the church, but you'll still die without God and go to hell. You can't, church membership won't get you there. You can put all the money you got in the offering plate. That's not going to get you to heaven. I'm telling you, you got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You got to put faith in the word of God if you're going to get saved. Amen.
It's going to take more than just an emotional experience. Something far more simpler than that. Trusting what God said. Say, preacher, don't you believe people can shed tears when they get saved? Well, I believe that without a doubt. I shed some tears when I got saved. But I've also seen people never shed a tear and get saved. And then I've seen people cry crocodile tears and never get saved. What is the difference in all that? I'll tell you what it is. Because faith does not come down to our emotions. Faith comes down to where we deposit our faith. If we put faith in ourselves, we'll go to hell. If we put faith in an experience alone, we'll go to hell. You put faith in water baptism, you'll go to hell. But if you put faith in the Word of God and what God said, and you trust Jesus and you trust the Word of God, if you'll put faith in the Bible, you can be saved. The Bible said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm telling you, you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a theologian. But if you get pricked in the heart by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God speaks to you and you know you're lost and you need to be saved, if you'll trust the Word of God, God will save your soul, but you got to put faith in God's word and what God said. See, some people don't get saved because they don't believe they're sinners. They come to the altar and they say, well, I say, why do you come? They say, well, I just come down here to pray for somebody. But really, they're under conviction about their soul. I'm telling you, you got to come to the place where you admit you're lost. You got to come to the place where it's already been said, you junk your pride, junk your religion, junk everything, and you come to Jesus Christ this morning. You say, preacher, what's it going to take to keep our family out of hell? It's going to take a witness. It's going to take a burden, and it's going to take the Bible. Amen? You can't go over and just talk to them about fishing and hunting and golf and everything else. You can't go over and talk to them about everything else that goes on in life. No, you got to go witness to them with a purpose, friend. You got to go to them with a mandate. You got to go to them and give them what God said in this book. Give them the Bible. When they say, well, you know, I don't think I'm too bad of a person, you got to give them some scripture that said, there is none that doeth good, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If somebody said, well, you know, I'm just trying to be good and work my way to heaven and do the best I can, you need to be able to give them the Word of God and say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm saying, friend, give them the Bible. I'm telling you, the Word of God will stay with them long after you have left if you'll sow the Word of God in their heart. Amen. Give them the Word of God. Preacher, what's it going to take to keep my family out of hell? It's going to take a witness. It's going to take a burden. It's going to take a Bible. It's going to take repentance. Look what he said in verse number 30. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Now this man never repents of anything. If you'll notice, if you go home and read verses 19 through 31, he asks for water, he asks for a witness, but he himself never repents over anything. Those that go to hell never repent. If you don't repent in this life, you won't repent in the next life. You'll bow your head, you'll bend your knee one day, and you'll confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But I'm telling you, this man, I don't know if he didn't repent because he knew there was no hope. I don't know if it's just because he never did. I don't know why, but he doesn't repent. But here's what he does know. He knows that if they're going to get saved, they're going to have to repent. Amen? Now, he thought it'd take somebody from the dead, but I'll tell you, it took the Word of God. And the Bible talks about it. Luke chapter 5 and verse 32, Jesus said, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Acts 17 and verse number 30, at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, the Bible says, Jesus said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I'm telling you this morning, sinner, if you get saved, you have to repent of your sins.
You have to repent and believe the gospel this morning. You see what repentance is. Repentance is a change of mind that produces a change of actions. Amen. You see, the repentance that's on the inside will produce some results on the outside. Amen. That change of mind will change your will. And my friend, it'll turn your heart to God, and you will turn from your sin, and you will turn to God. That is real repentance. Repentance is not coming down and just praying a prayer. Repentance is not walking down the aisle smacking your chewing gum, laughing every step of the way, and going back grinning like a possum. Amen. I'm telling you, godly sorrow worketh repentance, the Bible says. And if you're here lost this morning, and you know you're lost, and you know you need to be saved, you're going to have to repent to be saved. But what about this? What about this morning? How can I expect my loved ones to ever repent if I don't repent? You want to know why we don't see as many people get saved? So, well, we're living in different times. I understand that. But that book hadn't changed. Holy Spirit's not changed. I believe one of the reasons we don't see people saved like we used to is because the church doesn't walk as close to God as they used to. There is no telling in this good church, again, from this pulpit and this preacher to the back pew, there is no telling this morning what needs to be repented of. I wonder, you got a loved one going to hell, they're not going to get saved if you and I don't repent of our sins. And we have sins. Oh, I'm a sinner this morning. And you're a sinner this morning. We're sinners saved by grace. You say, well, I'm a saint. Oh, you are. But if you're going to read the book of James, James is talking to saints, isn't he? But on more than one occasion, he calls them sinners too. We're sinners this morning. And I think God is more serious when it comes to the church and revival. He is more serious about us repenting over our sins than he is us having a revival, a jubilee, a good time, or anything else we could think of. I love jubilee, don't you? Man, I look forward to it. I love the fellowship. I love all the food. Somebody say amen right there. I love the preaching. It helps us so much. But I'm going to tell you something. God is more interested in his people getting serious about themselves and serious about their sins. You know, jealousy will destroy you. It's crueler than the grave. A gossiping or lying tongue grieves the Holy Spirit, sowing discord among the brethren. God said it's one of the seven things that he hates. A proud look, a haughty spirit, an arrogant attitude. You say, Brother Gradley, what? I'm just naming sin. Because I don't think this morning the sin that we deal with is not alcohol, and I pray to God it's not adultery with nobody this morning, but it's not some of those things that we deem to be so gross and so wicked. But I'm telling you, a long tongue, sowing discord, an arrogant spirit, a proud look, all of these things, they're just as gross in the eyes of God as all them other things that I just mentioned this morning. And I wonder if we really want to have revival, don't you want to see a loved one get saved? You say, well, they don't even go to this church. They don't even live in this state. It doesn't really matter this morning. I'm just telling you, if we want to get our family into heaven, we're going to have to get right with God as much right as we can and stay right and live right. Can I get an amen right there? You know why it's so quiet right now? Because I'm going to tell you something. This is down where you and I live is what I'm telling you. It's where Brother Gravely lives. It's where you live this morning. It's what God is most interested in. He's not interested, I'm telling you, in just having good singing and patting us all on the head and sending us home for lunch. I tell you, God wants to do business, amen. God wants us to get out of our little old niche, quit warming our seat in the pew every Sunday. God wants us to do business, amen. And he don't want to just do it on Sunday.
He wants us to do it on Monday and Tuesday. And that's why you got to confess sins every day. It's a good thing to confess sins. Why? My flesh don't like it. I tell you, you want to have revival, you start confessing everything you can think of and then some. You won't miss. You'll hit the bullseye every time. Well, I don't know what to confess to God. Just tell God how sorry you are. Can I get an amen right there? Just tell God how ungrateful we have been, how unthankful we have been. Tell God how, Lord, forgive me for sins of omission and commission. And Lord, forgive me for those thoughts I should have never thought, and those evil intentions and those words I shouldn't have said. Oh, Lord, set a watch before my mouth. And dear God, Lord, set a watch before my thought process. Lord, forgive me for having that unforgiven spirit. Forgive me, oh God, for being thinking more highly of myself than what I ought to. Hey, Lord, forgive me for being judgmental. You say, what are you doing, preacher? I'm just saying, mention them. You won't miss the mark, I promise you. You won't miss. This morning, if our family gets saved, they'll have to repent. I have a family member that's in eternity right now. And I remember several years ago going to his house one night. He called. And had been drinking a lot. And I went over to his house and I tried to give him the gospel. But to be honest with you, I mean, he was crying and he was, I'm sorry for this and I'm sorry for that. And I believe he was trying to be sincere, but he was under the influence, you know. And so I talked to him for a little bit. We had prayer. He got down in the floor and he cried out to God and hugged my neck, and he said, oh, I've got right with God. I said, I'll be back by tomorrow to talk to you. I went back the next day. He was sitting on the front porch, but he was different. He had his Budweiser sitting there by him. I called his name. I said, I thought you got right with God last night. Well, you know, I just had to drink one of these. I said, you feel convicted about it? No, I don't really feel convicted. I knew right then there wasn't nothing to it. You see, you can't give up your sin, but you got to be willing to. Amen. You heard the old boy called the preacher and wanted to get saved, and he said, all right, he said, you can get saved. But he said, meet me down at the hog pen and all that hog mess, and said, you can get saved. He said, I'm not going down there. But preacher, I'll meet you at the church, but I don't want to go to the hog pen. He said, that's the only place you can get saved. He hung up, and a day or two later, he called him. He said, preacher, I'm really in bad shape. I need to get saved, so meet me down there at the hog pen. I'm telling you, preacher, I can get saved. You can come to my house, I can get saved. No, the only place you're going to get saved is in that hog pen. After a little while, he called the preacher sobbing and crying. He said, preacher, which way is it to the hog pen? He said, you don't have to go. You just got to be willing to go. And I want to tell you this morning, if we want to see our loved ones saved, we have to repent daily if we want them to repent. And then it's going to take a response. Look at what he said in verse 31. He said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. They must respond to the word of God. They must receive the word of God. You see, this morning, if we want our loved ones to be saved, we must respond. I'm not saying that to get you to come to the altar. I don't know if you need to use the altar this morning. And I promise you, if you come or don't come, I'm not going to be judgmental of that. But what I am saying is that every time we open our Bible, every time we pray, every time we come to church, every time a message is preached, every time there's a worship service, what it is for us, it's an opportunity for us to respond accordingly as God speaks to us. I think sometimes some of the best of God's people, it happens to all of God's people. If you and I are not careful, what happens? We can just get in a rut, can't we? We just get to the place where, I don't know if it's what it all it is, but we can get in a place where we just get unresponsive. And while I don't want to treat the altar casually, and I don't want it to be something that I just do every service to be just doing it because somebody else comes, that's no good neither. I also never want to get to the place where I sit in service after service after service and I never make a move toward God. You know, if you go to an old-fashioned church and Bible preaching, something ought to bump you every now and then. Am I right about that? I mean, something ought to move us. Something ought to stir us. Something ought to cause a response. I don't want to make people mad, but man, even if you get mad this morning, at least you got an emotion. I see so many people oftentimes that they just stone-faced and never move toward God. I wonder this morning, how many family members do I have? How many family members do you have this morning that's unsaved? I wonder this morning, will I be responsible for any of them getting to heaven? If you're here this morning, you're lost. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time of accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 3 and verse 15 says, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, sinner, do you hear God's voice this morning? If you hear God's voice, here's what the Bible says. Harden not your heart as in the provocation. Oh, listen to me. Sinner, listen to me. If the Holy Spirit deals with your heart and tells you you're lost this morning, please don't harden your heart. You need to come this morning and get saved. You need to respond to what he said because he may never speak to you again. Pass your day of visitation. This morning, if you're backslid and you're not where you need to be at with God, you need to get right this morning. We need to all get right with God. I mean, y'all believe Jesus is coming. Wonder what it's going to be like on that great judgment morning. Who will be standing there at the judgment bar of God? When the Bible said heaven and earth were passed away and there was found no place for them. John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead. And every man was judged according to their works. And then the Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Who is it this morning? Who is it this morning? Lord, give us a burden. Not a guilt trip. Not a shame. Just a genuine burden. Put the tears back in our eyes for souls. Let us weep over sinners once again. May we see our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Oh God, I ask you this morning in this congregation, for those that are here unsaved, I pray the Holy Ghost would convict them and draw them right now. May they come out of that pew and come and get born again this morning. Would you please speak to them this morning? Make it so clear, so real that they would come. This morning as we stand, if you need to come, would you mind God while we sing this old song?